I wanted to begin today by letting you in on just a little secret. It's really not that little. It's a big secret. Nobody really knows this secret besides Jen. But you know, I'm trying to build as leadership. Like when you want to build a culture of transparency, a culture of authenticity, like it's important for leadership to kind of lead the way, right? And so I know we shouldn't have favorites, right? Favorites are inappropriate, but we all have favorites. Let's just be honest, all right? And so we might not vocalize who our favorite is, but we all have them. And so we have two at home, two littles, and only two. Some of you have more. I realize that, but to be honest, I like one more than the other. I have a favorite, right? I love them both. Don't get me wrong. I love them both, but one's my favorite, all right? One beats out the other, right? She's just cuter. She's funnier. She eats less, right? It does. Like, saving money does factor in to who's favorite, right? Truth be told, she's just not as annoying. Now, shame on you, right? Shame on you. I'm not talking about my kids. Clearly, Abby is my favorite. Now, that's a joke. That's actually a joke. I'm talking about our Frenchies, right? I'm talking about our dogs, right? We love Stella. We love Stella, but Birdie has like weaseled her way in. And just the short, like less than a year that we have had her, she has like weaseled her way into the number one spot. Right? So don't look at me like I'm just a jerk. But my whole family would agree, right? She is the favorite. Now, here's kind of one of the reasons why that she's got, like, Stella, great dog, but Stella always wants something from you. She's almost like a cat. She's only around really when she wants something from you. Where Birdie, she just wants to be with you. Right? Birdie's playful. She really is. But more than anything, she just wants to kind of cuddle on right next to you. And that's not the type of cuddle where like some of your dogs, where they use their head, where they like, they're always just trying to like get you to like pet them. That's not her, right? She just wants to be near you. You can pet her or you can not pet her. And so she's just kind of a cuddler. Whereas Stella, she's a French bulldog, but she's like an inwardly, she's like a Labrador. Like she's always, I mean, you sit down and she is on you. She's like, here's the ball, throw it. And if you don't throw it, you're just like, can you give me a second to put my coffee down? She'll give you her less than satisfied, like, it's not a growl, but it's like I can't even do it. Even although I have like a sore throat, it's letting you know how dissatisfied she is with you right now. And so the thing about Stella, she never rest. She is just constantly trying to get you to throw a ball. And so if you're familiar kind of with like Jesus's friends, Mary and Martha, where Mary would like to sit at like Jesus's feet and Martha is just always going, always doing. Stella's Martha. She really is. And I have a point. You're like, what's your point? Here's my point, that oftentimes God uses all types of things to get us to reflect. And upon reflection, you know what I realized is that I'm a whole lot like Stella than I am like Birdie. That I am always, always kind of going and moving and not resting. I am like Stella a lot. And so, welcome. Glad you're here. Thrilled you've chosen to worship with us. So whether you're a regular attender or member or whether you're a guest with us, joining us, thrilled you're here because we're in kind of a series. We're starting a series called Connected. And we begin usually the last few years beginning a series looking at what are some of the spiritual practices that we can do to help us actually connect better with God. These aren't practices to make us right in God's eyes. These are practices that help align our hearts so that we can encounter Him more. Spiritual practices. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to look at practices. We're going to look at actually two practices, and we're going to look at the practice of Sabbath. And so, in just a few seconds. So last week, if you're with us, let me kind of give you, as we started the series, kind of a quick review. We're talking, really, these practices are all about spiritual development. Sometimes it's called spiritual formation. Like, we're looking at what are the things that we can do to be changed, to be different, to be transformed. And so last week, we looked at the why and the what of spiritual development. You remember the why? Like, why on earth would we spend several weeks talking about spiritual development? And the reason, one of the major reasons for why, is because none of us here are spiritually neutral at all. You might be thinking, you know, I feel like I'm okay with where I'm at. You're deceiving yourselves because none of us stay where we're at. We are not neutral. Either we're moving towards God or we are actually drifting away. Every second of every day, we are being formed, whether we like it or not. We are either going to be conformed more into the image of who God is, or we're going to be conformed into the environment around us. Either we're going to look more and more like Jesus, or we're going to look more and more like our culture. There is no getting away around it. So all of us are being formed, right? I shared it last week. We become like, we resemble what we worship, either for our ruination or for our restoration. And so you can think that you're just where I'm at, I feel like I'm good. That's not the reality. We're not neutral. We're moving forward, we're moving backwards. And so, and another reason why would we want to focus on spiritual development is because if you are wanting to change, if you are wanting to look different this year in 2023, it won't happen by accident. Nobody stumbles their way into spiritual growth and development. And so that's the why. Now, then we looked at last week, what is spiritual development? And it was, we kind of used like a fourfold kind of definition, which we'll continue to go back through and kind of remind us as we're looking at the practices, right? Spiritual development can be defined this way. It is a process, right? It's not an event. And so it's just a continual process of being formed. You aren't forming yourselves. You are being formed. It's being done to you by God's power. A process of being formed into what? The outcome? Into the image of Jesus for the sake of others. So that's our definition. Now today, we're going to look at an ancient practice. I mean, this is a practice that has been practiced for millennia, for thousands of years, right? It's a practice most of us don't ever do. And I've already spilled the beans. What is it? It's the practice of Sabbath. The practice of Sabbath, right? Sabbath actually comes from a Hebrew word. It's a Hebrew verb actually called Shabbat. And Shabbat means to cease. Shabbat means to stop. And so that's what Sabbath is. Sabbath is a spiritual practice of stopping, of ceasing. It's the practice of resting. And for us and for our culture, this can be a very odd practice, right? And so you might be saying, like, why on earth should I practice Sabbath? You know, why should I practice ceasing, stopping, resting? And so let me give you kind of another why. Like, clear whys always kind of motivates our what's, like why and what we're gonna do. And so if you're a parent, we don't always give clear whys, right? Parent, you have kids, especially younger ones, even older ones still do it, but they're always asking why should you ask them anything? You ask them to do something, and there's always going to be a why behind it. And if you've been like me as a parent, sometimes our whys aren't the most compelling whys. And sometimes they're not clear, or they're clear, but they're just a little less than ideal. Oftentimes our whys aren't stellar. If you're honest, most of our whys as parents are usually filled with either threats, manipulation, or guilt, right? A lot of times. Like, son, Bobby, Benny, Ben, pick up your toys. Why? Why? Because if you don't pick up your toys, we're not going to give you any birthday gifts this year. You're not, how many times have you given a threat? I mean, you know that they're empty threats and they only work for so long, right? That's not a compelling why. And so for the next few weeks, I'm going to encourage everyone in here to practice Sabbath. Practice Sabbath, right? And you say, why on earth, Jay? Why would I want to practice Sabbath? I'm not going to give you a threat. I'm not going to try to manipulate you. And I definitely am not going to try to make you feel guilty. The idea of us encouraging us to do practices isn't meant to incite guilt or shame or threat or manipulation, right? If you want to know why on earth would you want me to do this, the simple answer is that practicing Sabbath will actually help your spiritual formation. If you would practice Sabbath, it will help you spiritually develop. It's a means that God has given to us. It's a gift that God has given us to help us grow, to change, to be different, right? It does bring transformation. It will help you. Practicing Sabbath will help you physically. Practicing Sabbath will help you emotionally. And practicing Sabbath helps spiritually. All the above. It helps you connect with our God. It helps you connect with Jesus. And so, the practice of Sabbath is meant to be a blessing. And some of you, the reason I say that is because some of you have grown up in traditions where practicing Sabbath did not feel like a blessing. It actually felt more like a burden. And so the practice of Sabbath is never meant to be burdensome. God did not give it to us to be a burden. Like, it was meant to be a benefit and a blessing. So if you think, well, that's just going to be a hurdle and that's just going to be a hindrance. No, have a different mindset. It is there to help you. It's there to bless you. So I know most of us, we intuitively know that we need to be better at stopping, at ceasing, at resting. I mean, we are, for a lot of us, we are constantly on the move. We're constantly going, right? And yet, we have a culture that is just feeding that machine of just like that cycle of always doing something, always working, always doing. And yet, at the same time, we have a culture that actually is advertising this idea of stopping and resting. I mean, you look at our commercials. I mean, just today as you scan, like if you have a commercial, if you have, when you're logging on the internet and you have the ads next to you, how many advertisements are like kind of wanting you to kind of cease or stop or rest from buying beds or mattresses? I mean, the new thing right now, my daughter wanted, like one of the only things she wanted for Christmas was a comfy. Anybody got a comfy in here or a cozy? Well, great. I guess you guys don't want it. I mean, it's just like, basically all it is just basically a big, large blanket that drapes over you. Like, we have things like that. Like, what else do we have? The idea of, like, there's always, like, kind of a push. Get into that BRBO. Or get into, like, this vacation getaway. Right? Here's my point. The irony is, you can't buy Sabbath. You can't buy it. In fact, you don't need to have a hot tub to Sabbath. You don't need to buy a cabin in the woods to rest and to stop. You don't need patio furniture, right? You don't need to have a monthly membership to the spa, right? What you need and what I need is we need to just stop. Training ourselves to stop. And so even though I think we intuitively need, like we know we need to rest, we know we need to breathe and just like a sense of relief, like that's not where Sabbath started from just our inward kind of desire, right? We need to go to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis and see where Sabbath actually originates. So if you have your Bible, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. If you don't have your Bibles, that's all right. The verses will be on the screen. But this is Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested. He rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy. He set it apart. Because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." And so you see this like kind of repetition over and over in Genesis chapter 2, that on the seventh day, God rested. He rested. Literally, God Sabbathed. God Sabbathed. He Sabbathed from all his work. He Sabbathed from the work that he has done in his creation. Like, he rested. Now, God doesn't rest because he didn't Sabbath on the seventh day because he was tired. Like, that's a wrong conception of who God is. God doesn't grow tired, right? Remember what the psalmist said? The psalmist says, God neither sleeps nor slumbers. And so God is not resting because he's exhausted. He just needs a little break. No, God stopped. God ceased. God rested. Why? Because it was to model a spiritual rhythm, right? He's modeling a spiritual development rhythm that's needed for our lives. He's showing us what he wants us to be like, right? He built Sabbath actually into the rhythm of creation. Like, Sabbath is actually like built into the very fabric of his creation. So is there a need to work? Of course. Work is not a bad thing. Work is a good thing. But God was very strategic in saying, you will work, but you also need to rest. You need to stop. And a lot of us, that's hard. And I can almost hear the arguments. Well, yeah, that's great, Jay. Yeah, rest. I can't stop and rest, Jay. I have a business. To which I would say, God Sabbathed. He Sabbathed. No, God Sabbathed. Or you might be thinking, no, I can't Sabbath. You see how many kids I have? To which I would say, no, God Sabbathed. I can't Sabbath. I have a full load of classes and a job. No. God Sabbathed. He built it into the rhythm of creation. He's modeling for a rhythm that we are meant to experience, that we're meant to follow. Trust me, I get it. I don't like to rest. I don't. Like, I am wired really to do. I'm wired to go. I think one of the reasons why Stella, my dog, drives me so much is because I'm like her. Like, I'm always wanting to do something and never just sit and actually be at time. And yet God luckily can use a dog to actually help me in like these spiritual things. So God built the rhythm of Sabbath for his creation, for us. Now, this is what the rhythm looks like. It's really interesting, though. And did you realize in the creation order, like the first day for Adam and Eve, because they're created on the sixth day, the first day was actually a day of rest. They rested. And then 6 days of work. So really, it's like 6 days of work, and then we stop and we rest for one day. But isn't it awesome to believe, I mean, show us that God, humanity started with a day of rest first, meaning like there's grace. God always starts with grace. It's a gift. And so, Sabbath is not a punishment. Sabbath isn't meant to be a burden, right? It is a benefit. It is a blessing for us as his creatures. He says, you need it. And so the practice of Sabbath, it connects us to God. The practice of Sabbath actually connects us to Jesus, and it actually helps us change to be more like him. And so another question that you might be asking, so then why did God build Sabbath into the rhythm of creation? Like, why does God actually like make it into a commandment? Right? We see it in Genesis 2, but that's not the only time where we see this idea of Sabbathing. It's actually more explicit outside of Genesis 2. It's more explicit in Exodus 20 or in Deuteronomy 5. When God gave the Ten Commandments, I mean, like, we know, like, the fourth commandment is what? Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And so this idea of Sabbath and being built into the fabric of creation, it wasn't a suggestion by God. It was a command. You are required to shut down and stop and rest. And again, that command, don't let it lean on you as if it's a burden. Let it lean on you as like he's helping us. As kids, he's saying, this is going to benefit you. This is going to be a blessing. This is going to be a blessing. And so why does God command it? Why did God institute it? It's because God cares about your physical and emotional well-being. You realize that? God cares about your spiritual or his physical and your emotional well-being. You actually see that even in the Psalms. You could, if you're like, man, where do you see that? Psalm 35. Psalm 35, 27, God delights in the well-being of his servants. He cares about your physical and your emotional well-being. And so most of us are tired. Like, if I were to say, like, are you more tired or are you more like, I am just rolling right now, I would guarantee you most of us in this room would say, man, I feel just so tired. I feel exhausted, right? And so we do more now and we actually sleep less. I would say, if I were to poll, I won't ask you to show your hands right now, but I'd say, how many of you last night got more than 8 hours of sleep? I would say probably very few of you did. And so we are always like, we're like, oh, let's do more and then actually sleep less. And the reality is, I mean, this is not hard to understand, is that insufficient sleep or insufficient rest has a profound effect on our bodies and our minds. So I was listening to a pastor recently. His name is John Mark Comer. And what I love about that church is that he, as a pastor, he's just trying to help his church, his people, practice this spiritual discipline. In fact, he said something very interesting. He gave a term that I've never heard before. It's a Japanese term. He used the term, have you ever heard of the term karoshi? It's a Japanese term that means death by overwork. And so the Japanese culture has actually a term that actually recognizes that work can be deadly, deadly. And here's what's interesting that he shared, fun fact, and you can Google this, right? You can go to the International Labor Organization. Do you realize Americans work 137 more hours in a year than the Japanese workers. We work 260 hours more a year than our beloved Brits. We work 299 more hours per year than the French. Right? To which I just want to make some kind of, we're not lazy like the French. If you're French, I'm just kidding. Right? See, our lack of rest is karoshi. It actually is killing us. It is. It's changing us, our lack of rest. And it's changing us not for the better. It's changing us for the worse. And The reality is that this idea, like, I mean, we are struggling physically, and we are struggling emotionally. And that's not even the biggest issue. That doesn't even give us the biggest problem. Like, our physical exhaustion, it impacts our spiritual development. It does. Our spirit and our bodies are closely intertwined. They are. They are connected to each other, and they affect each other. Like, some of you, like, if you just kind of monitor, we are more prone to temptation. And we're more prone to sin when what? When we're tired. And when we're exhausted. I think that's one of the reasons why God instituted Sabbath, is that he would help us not fall into more temptation and sin. So God does he care about your physical bodies? Of course he does. Does he care about your emotional state? Of course he does. But even more than that, he cares about our spiritual states. God cares more about your spiritual well-being, right? I shared it last week, 1 Tim 4:8, for physical training is of some value. That's valuable. God cares about your physical bodies. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for both the present and in the days to come in heaven. So, it's not hard to see why both go together, fear, physical and spiritual. Our mission statement here at New Covenant, if you've been around at all, we pursue and practice. That's kind of we pursue and practice. We pursue God, we pursue others, and we practice his ways. Right? We want to live, and we want to look more like Jesus. And that mission statement, it came out of the two great commandments that we see in Scripture. We see it, the great commandment, or the great commission, and we see the great commandment. The great commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, right? With all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, right? And love others as yourselves. What's that saying? I mean, it's saying, just as God loved you, love him, pursue him. Just as he's calling you to love others, pursue others. And so why do we pursue God and pursue others? Because God loved us, and God wants us to love others. And then he gave us the great commission to go and make disciples, teaching them all that he has commanded us, right? That's practicing his ways. Practicing his ways. So, like, the metric, my point is, the metric that we have as believers, what is it? It's love. Love for him. Like, the metric of how well am I doing spiritually is, like, am I loving Jesus? Am I loving God? Am I loving Jen? Am I loving Ben? Am I loving Abby? How am I loving Stella? How am I loving my staff? How am I loving us as a church? How am I loving those who are my neighbors or political leaders? Or people who think differently or live differently than who I am. Like, our metric is love. And you know what's really hard? Do you know what's really, really hard to do when you're tired and when you're spent and when you're exhausted? You know what's hard? Well, it's not a mystery. It starts with L and it ends with of. It's really hard to love. Incredibly hard. Like, when I'm tired, you know what I don't usually bear? Fruit of the Spirit. Right? When I'm exhausted, I usually don't bear joy. And when I'm tired, I'm usually not patient. I'm more irritable. I'm not usually more gentle or self-controlled. Right? When we are tired, we are inclined to sin. We are inclined to actually rebel. Our defenses go down. That's why that's where we lack then self-control. So, right, have you accidentally, like, just kind of woke up the person next to you late at night? When you accidentally woke them up at night, like, did they respond to you with warmth and with grace? Oftentimes, no. They didn't greet you with a holy kiss. Like when you wake someone up, like after like a like you want to know how you could like disqualify me from ministry? Force me to do like a middle school lock-in. I'm not joking. Someone's not coming out unscathed. Like, I just know, like, how I don't do well without sleep. Like, my friends who are closest to me, they know, like, I turn into a pumpkin at, like, 10. It's like, all right, we were having fun. It's time for you to go home. Like, I'm ready for bed. So, like, we are not supposed to live in, like, a perpetual state of exhaustion. All right, Jesus isn't calling us that. He's not calling us to be exhausted, to have a worn out, zero margined life. You don't see that being modeled in the New Testament. You don't see that being modeled by him. And yet, if I am the enemy, what better way to like actually hinder the mission of God is just to distract and to get into someone's life where they're completely distracted, or they're just, it's like they're so busy, like they're exhausted, or they're not actually a part of what God is wanting to be done. So let's just get to kind of the practicalness of today. Like what is the practice of Sabbath? All right, what does it look like kind of practically? To which is on the screen, it's like Sabbath. Sabbath is a 24-hour time period where we just stop all work. And we set a time, like we set a day to rest. And not just rest, but to delight and worship Jesus. It's a 24-hour period where we are intentionally stopping. We're stopping all work to rest, to delight, and to worship Jesus. And again, not meant to be a burden. It's meant to be a benefit. It's meant to be a blessing. It's a time to stop, like, okay, the grind. It's time to stop the daily grind and just rest. Rest, delight, worship. Step away from the constant rush. Now, we're not going to talk about what do you mean by delight and worship. That's in the days to come. Because we're going to dwell here, like I said, we're going to dwell here for a few weeks. All right, today is just like, it's a helpful exhortation. We need to stop. Stop and rest. I will say this, Sabbath is not meant to be a silver bullet. Right? This isn't meant to be like a magic potion. Like just like other practices, other disciplines. But it can change you. It can change you, it can help you. It can deepen if we are intentional and we kind of work through the awkwardness of it, because a lot of us, we don't practice this kind of rhythm. Like this can be incredibly transformative for us. This is actually a practice because like what it's called, I mean, we're saying connected. And so when we talk about this, clearly these are practices that connect us to God. But these are actually practices that we can do in community. Sabbath can actually be done in community. And I'll share more in just a few seconds. Not just in isolation or not just by yourself. I needed help practicing Sabbath. I started this a few weeks ago to saying, man, if there's any practice, like one of the reasons why I chose the practice of Sabbath is because I am not inclined to do it. I don't really like resting. I'm just kind of always going. And so if I'm struggling with it, I would imagine you all are struggling with it as well. And so I needed actually someone to actually help practice Sabbath with, besides just my family. Just like for many of us, like we, even with working out, like when we have a community to help hold us accountable and push us, that's helpful until it actually gets baked into our natural rhythm. And so don't just think, oh, I'll just have to practice this alone. No, actually do this with some other people, with some close friends, with family, right? Come together. You don't have to do all of it. You don't practice all of Sabbath together, but come together at some point and just share what is God doing. Share the resistance. Share what went well, what didn't go well. So the big idea, I'll give you some practicals, but here's the big idea. The practice of Sabbath, stopping, resting, ceasing, the practice of Sabbath does change us by connecting us to God and actually connecting us with other people. That's the practice. So that's the big idea. Now here, like you're saying, okay, well, what does it look like kind of practically? Here's what you got to do. And you can jot down some notes here personally. I'm going to direct you to a website here that actually gives you some helpful tools. I've been using this. First, pick a time to actually practice Sabbath. Pick a time. Pick a day. Now, some of you might be thinking, I'll just be honest, I actually couldn't even do a whole day. To which then I would encourage you, can you set aside at least 3 hours? Set aside 3 and 4 hours and what? Stop. Rest. If you can't do a whole day, that's okay. Start with where you are at, not where you wish you were. It's okay. What I love about our God is he's gracious. So choose a day. Right? Some of you, you'll choose the original Sabbath, like Friday night to Sunday or Saturday night. Like you could do that. You could choose Friday. Maybe some of you are some of you might choose Sunday, right? You're starting coming to service, start the day kind of with a rhythm of worshiping and then use the day to rest and to reflect. So first is pick a time. If you don't schedule it, guess what? You won't do it. You won't. And so pick a start time, pick an end time. Sometimes there's people that I lean on. Like, what do you do? Some people, they light candles. They start by lighting a candle and doing something together. Then they kind of go off, and then they'll end their time by coming back together, like celebrating, whether over a meal, and then just sharing with another candle being lit, or both candles now being lit, and just sharing what God did. Like one family, it was so encouraging to hear, they go through kind of 3 different areas. Kind of going through a prayer and just saying, okay, this is what was intoxicating this week or this month. Meaning, this is what resonated. This was the amazing thing that God did that I just want to thank God for. And then they talked about, this is what was sweet. And then they went to, this is what was illuminating. Like, this is what God revealed. And what they're doing is they're just crafting out a space from them just like, God, you're always at work. You're always doing. And if I'm so busy and so, I can just miss it. And so they're just reflecting on the gracious and good things that God has done and sharing that with each other. And that's kind of what we did with another couple. We just had good drinks and we just shared, this is what God was doing. And this is where it was really, really hard. And this is I said I wasn't going to look at any emails, and I did. So I continued to work. And so it was just an opportunity to confess. It's an opportunity to reflect and to see what God was doing. Some people, I would encourage you, pick 1 to 3 kind of Sabbath activities. Right? Don't view it as a to-do list. It's not meant to be a to-do list. Just activities, what? What kind of activities? Activities that draw your heart to God. That's the kind of the key. Draws your heart to God, and you can do this, some of it, do it alone, and you can do this with others. Right? Have a meal with others. Go on a walk or a hike. Take a nap and just rest. Journal. Right? Here's what I would direct your heart not to do. Because in my head, when I heard it, I was like, resting? Okay, resting. I'm just going to binge watch some kind of Netflix series. To which I say, be careful. Because in that, what you're doing, you're actually trying to get your heart in alignment to God. And when we watch shows, we don't come out just thinking, oh, now I just want to praise God. Right? It's activities that will actually direct your heart to him. So I would encourage you to actually journal and just reflect. Fight the urge of like trying to kind of evaluate or for a lot of us, we can jump into it and be like, that was pointless or that was worthless. Fight that urge. Because sometimes we just kind of have to work through some of our awkwardness in order to actually get to a place where the first few times of Sabbathing were so hard for me, and they still are hard for me. But actually, I'm growing more and more. The way I'm wired is like when I see stuff in this, it's like the sink. It's like I'm gonna do the dish. I'm just gonna do it, and then I'll get it done and check. And then in this last time of Sabbathing, I saw the dish there, and everything in me says clean it, just clean it. It'll only take a couple minutes. And I just said, no, I'm not gonna work. I'm gonna sit down and I'm actually just gonna rest. It'll be there tomorrow, and I'll take care of it tomorrow. And I did, and man, I cleaned that sink well. So, I'm done. Let me end this way. Okay, when we talk about Sabbathing, resting, these are practices that are meant to align our heart to God. But here's what I want. These are practices actually for believers. It is appropriate for me to say, you know what? You know what God really wants is us to be reminded of gospel truths, is that the gospel is all about God's rest that he brings. I mean, these are practices of finding rest, but the reality is, you know what? We get ultimate rest. You want to have rest with God, it's because of what Jesus has already done for you. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the great news of Christianity. Some of you here, if you don't know Jesus, the way that you can have rest and peace with God is by actually stopping. There's a word for it, we call it repentance. Meaning that we're not gonna do something in order to gain your favor, God. We know we can't earn it. We can't deserve it. And so what do? We just stop and we rest and say, God, I need you to do something for me. And he has. It's a beautiful work that Jesus came. He died a death that we deserve. And not only did he die, he rose from the dead and gives us the newness of life, the perfection that we can never earn or deserve. That's the beauty of the gospel. It is great news. And practicing Sabbath is just kind of a reminder of what God has already done for us. So let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to rest more in you. I want to find my hope, my life, my peace that only you can give. God, we are tired. So many of us are tired. We are worn out. We are exhausted. We're frustrated. And so, God, would you, by your grace, would you shower with grace? Would you extend it knowing that, God, you long to give rest to the weary and hope? So do that. God, if there's anyone here that has not trusted Jesus, that they would put down their arms, they would put down this idea that they could work towards gaining favor in your eyes, but that they would just simply call upon you. Call upon you in the day of trouble and you will deliver them. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I pray that you would direct hearts to Jesus. We love you. We need you. And all God's people said, amen.